great, great day. We're going to be enjoying a lot of symphony praise music today. So if you enjoy beautiful symphony type music that is Christian and just all kinds of instruments.
Hagar.
I'm your host, Pastor Matthew Roman of Safe Harbor Church. I do have a YouTube channel called By the Bible.
Abandoned by the family she belonged to.
Church, if you want to check it out.
And
I'm glad you're with me. We meet here every week.
Son,
we talk about the hope we have in Jesus Christ. Let's pray right now and begin with a beautiful praise. Lord, we pray you bless the program. Thank you for your grace and mercy. Help those that are listening. And we thank you for...
Does anyone...
In Jesus' name, amen.
She's crying now. She's lost in her despair. She thinks nobody loves her. Hagar thinks nobody's there. But God says, will be a ring of fire around her, and I will be the glory in her midst, and the power of my presence will bring her to her knees, and I will lift her up again, for I'm the God who calls her name. She feels his arms enfold her as he holds her, and she'll never be the same. 'Cause I'm the God who never changes, and my promises are true. And when this world deserts you, this is what woman named Ruth. She was from the land of Moab. And she was met with grief and heartache. She was a widow. And she lived with her mother-in-law, who was also a widow. And now it was time to move on. But Ruth had never been to Bethlehem. She had never tasted of the house of bread. But now she had heard an inner invitation to come and taste and see. And so she vowed herself to her mother-in-law and said, "Where you go, I will go. Where you lie, I will lie. Where you die, I will die." And she begins a journey to the promised land. She's traveling through the desert. And he'll make all things new for you and love you back to life again. Shepherd boy. at his feet. She served him and she loved him. Oh, how she loved him. But then she watched as they nailed him to the cross. And as they placed his body in the tomb, in that moment, her hope died. It died. She's crying in the garden. She's broken in despair. She's searching for her Savior, but his body isn't there. Then he says, Mary, glory, 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 hallelujah. I will be the glory in your midst, and every knee will bow.
Wasn't that awesome? The Bible says, be still and know that I'm God. When we focus on God, it brings peace. Do you feel peace? Do you know peace? Well, if you know Christ, you have the ability to walk in that peace that only He can offer. I love in John 16 when He says, you know, that you're going to have trouble in the world and tribulation, and that is true. But He says, take heart, I've overcome the world. And the reason we can have peace is there's nothing that is more powerful than Jesus, because he overcame any temptation, he overcame it, any challenge. He conquered death, the ultimate powerful force on this earth. So we look to him and him alone. Let's continue with our symphony of praise. About we go across the pond to a beautiful, excited African choir. You should look at this choir on YouTube. It's I-M-A-N-I, and then the second word is M-I-L-E-L-E choir, and it's from Africa. And they're going to give us a collection of songs from Because He Lives, Jesus, Friend of Sinners, Nothing But the Blood, and you'll pick up their excitement. Most of them are very young, like most of the population of Africa. So enjoy the Mani Milelele Choir.
Hallelujah!
You're holy, you are mighty. There is none like you, the King of Kings. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. Come on, lift your voices. Praise Him, praise Him.
Praise the Lord in your own
for His love, for His mercy.
God sent his son. They call him Jesus. He came to love. He led for you. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior.
Up your voice, praise his holy name. He's worthy, he's glorious, he's mighty. Matthew 6:34 says, take no thought for the morrow will take care of itself. Jesus will take care of tomorrow. Because he lives, we can face tomorrow. He's our God, he's mighty. And the Bible says, Matthew 28:20, that he will be with me to the very end of age. God is with us to the very end of age. Now we celebrate him. We give him the praise. We give him the glory. Because he's worthy. He's mighty. He's great. He's wonderful. He's holy. God is. He's holy. He's mighty. Someone lift up your voice. Listen. Sing hallelujah, hallelujah.
We give you glory. We worship you. We give you honor. Thank you, Father. Thank you, King of Kings. Hallelujah. 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 Nothing.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I hope everybody's doing good out there. Praise the Lord. I'm having a great time. We're going to listen to something today that I think you might find interesting. I hope you're blessed by it. On my YouTube channel, By the Bible, which you should check out, I do interviews, different pastors, different people. And one of the interviews I just did is from a pastor who before he became a pastor Christian, he became a hardened atheist. If you can believe that, very hard atheist after the loss of his child. And so what I wanted to do was play part of that interview for you to hear, because it is hard when people lose someone. And I know you may be someone that has lost a child that's listening. I'm going to play the part of the interview where he talks about his journey, and then at the end he gives some advice for those that are dealing with the loss of a child. Without further ado, I give you Pastor Guy Frederick and the interview I did with him on By the Bible. So go ahead and share how you became a hardened atheist.
Well, I grew up in a mainline denomination like almost everybody did in Wisconsin. In fact, people of my generation, I don't know of anybody that wasn't baptized as an infant in a Catholic or a Lutheran or a Methodist church or something like that. We don't have a lot of other churches. Those are the predominant ones in our region. But along the way, and that involves the story of my wife and I losing our second son, basically I cursed God and died during that point. And that was all wrapped up with when the pastor of the church, the minister of the church, came to us and said, I don't know why bad things happen. Sometimes bad things just happen. And it's like, you don't have anything for me. You don't have any answers for me. Where's God when I'm screaming out for him? And in that moment, when I literally cursed God and died, I just said, you know, no God would ever do something like this to someone who was his. Now, my definition at that moment in time would have been that I was a Christian. But that was a definition that was born out of the fact that I was not something else. I wasn't a Wiccan. I was not a Buddhist. I was not a Hindu. I was none of those other religions. I knew what it meant to have a Bible. I knew what it meant to have a cross over a building on a steeple. And so therefore, by default, I was a Christian. But what I never understood then is I had never heard the living gospel. I had never turned my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ in a true salvific way. And that all changed after a number of years of living actually life as a full-on hardened, drunken, nasty. that was my life back then, a drunken, nasty atheist. I did everything I could in my power to rebel against God and to rebel against God's people. And when God never reacted to any of my rebellion, just let me out there, let me do whatever I was doing, tearing up stuff, doing whatever I was doing, I just finally dismissed the fact that there even was a God. Just walked away completely and walked into science, walked into philosophy, walked into all the things that are naturalistic and secular humanistic and all those ventures, and became a full-fledged, full-on, hardened atheist. So that was my story, and that's where I lived for about 7 years.
Share your story of how God eventually led you to Him, and you became a Christian, even a pastor.
Well, I was at the time driving a truck, hauling bulk milk products for dairy farms. I've been involved in dairy and farming all my life in this region, and I was spinning a dial on a radio, and spinning it dates me because we don't spin anything anymore. But I clicked across this radio dial in the truck looking for something or anything to listen to beside the same top 10 songs of the hour, and came across a program on a Christian radio station. And on that program that I clicked into just by happenstance from my point of view, It was Dr. James Dobson, Christian psychologist that everyone is probably familiar with. And the program that he was talking about that at that moment was the pain of losing a child. And so now I'm at this point where I'm hearing this program from a Christian perspective, and he's dealing with people that struggle with that pain and what it does to their life. And I'm trying to drive a truck down the road, and it's breaking me. And it still will today, just thinking of what happened during that opportunity. But essentially, God reached down from heaven with that still, small voice, that I love you voice, and reached deep into my heart and soul and said, I am here, and I am watching, and I've got something for you. Now, that wasn't the moment of my salvation, but that's where it all began turning. I would tune into that station on occasion and see if there was something else that meaningful, and half the time I would come up with churchy music and tune back out. That was not for me, wasn't my thing. But one day I came into a different broadcast, and they were talking about creation and evolution, and that really fit with my worldview, and I was interested. I had never heard the Christian perspective on creationism, and that they were kind of doing that deep dive, and I just bookmarked that site and started listening more and more. And it turned out that God drew me in through Christian radio. It was me and God and a radio at that moment. No Bible, no church, nobody. Just me and the radio waves, literally in a truck. And I started listening to that station for about the 14 hours that I was out on the road every day. And it was a Christian talk program format, and all the great teachers, the Swindolls and Stanleys and, you know, McGee and all the great Bible teachers that are on Christian talk radio. And I literally became educated in the true scriptures, in the gospel. And one night on my way home, it was probably near to midnight, driving my way back home, and Charles Stanley was preaching one of his sermons that almost all of his sermons are the same sermon. But at the end of that sermon, he just had a catchphrase. He said, if you are tired of warring against God, then why don't you pray this prayer with me, and we'll bring you to Christ and stop the war. And I'm thinking, you know, I've been warring against God for years, and I just prayed along with him that prayer that he offered. And I didn't know to write down the date. I didn't know to, you know, record all those things. I had nobody guiding me or anything. But I believe that was the night when I actually truly gave my heart to Christ. The next day, on the way home from work, I got off early enough, and I had to stop back when Kmarts were still open. I had to stop at our local Kmart, and they had Bibles on sale, and I thought, well, I'm a reader. That's my big deal, is reading, and I figured I should at least read the source material. And all these teachers had recommended, start in the Gospel of John, read the Gospel of John. So they had these Bibles on sale, their Blue Light Special, for 97 cents. I read in there the Gospel of John, and by the time I got through the third or fourth chapter, Jesus had me heart and soul, mind and body. I mean, I completely understood, and the Spirit led me into the truth, and I have not walked away from the Word of God since that moment.
Pastor Guy, before we finish this interview, would you take a few minutes and talk to the person that might be watching that has lost a child?
The first thing I would say is that losing a child does not mean that God hates you. It may mean that God is seeking greater glory. And because God is always perfectly good, and that's hard to bear in mind when you're struggling in your own heart and soul with such a deep and desperate loss. But God is so desperately and always good, perfectly good, that if he takes a child from you, then he would do that for some greater good or some greater purpose. I'm so sorry that he had to remove our child in order to get my attention and to call me into the gospel. But I know that I am now, because of that calling, helping to populate his kingdom in heaven and living in his glory. And so glory to his holy name.
Moving on from grief, what about the person who's an atheist? How would you talk to them or challenge them to think about the existence of God?
Yeah, there's some really good ones out there. And the truth is, a lot of atheists already know all those arguments because they spend a lot of time rehearsing answers through most of the common arguments. but I would like to make two. Number one, and this remains true whether the atheist has an answer or not, is in order to actually be a real practical atheist, you don't just hate the concept of God or hate God. You have to disavow that there can possibly be a God. And which means you would have to have, as an atheist, exhaustive knowledge of all times, all places, all epoch. You know, you would have to have exhaustive knowledge of the whole of the cosmos in order to determine succinctly that there is no God. And no person can have that. And so automatically that almost reduces an atheist to the position of an agnostic, where you don't like there to be an idea of a God, but you can't actually factually prove there is no God. And every atheist will say, you can't prove there is a God. You're right, I can't prove there is a God, just like you can't prove there isn't a God. So we're at a stalemate there. Let's move on to the next question. The next question in my mind is, every aspect of science seems to indicate the need for some absolute infinity within our universe. But we understand, because of science, that there is no absolute infinity within the bounded universe. The fact that our universe is bounded proves that there's no actual infinity. The fact that every evidence points to it beginning at one point in place in time and space seems to argue that there's no absolute infinity, and yet that absolute infinity is required. I find that absolute infinity most easily explained in the person of God, because God is transcendent of creation, and that means he stands apart from space and time. He is literally the creator of space and time. Because he stands apart from space and time, he can be the actual infinity, which, if we read all the attributes of God in Bible, he knows all things, he's every place, he's all existing, all powerful. Those are all definitions of an actual infinity. And so God is a transcendent God standing apart from space and time, spoke space and time into creation. And he is the required absolute infinity. And that's the keep it simple, stupid answer. But literally, God is the keep it simple answer. The easiest explanation for what we find, the reason there's something instead of nothing, is the fact that God is the actual infinity. Now, the second question that stems from that is, if God is wholly transcendent or wholly apart from creation, then how is it that there are effects of God within creation? How can we know that there's a God? How can we, you know, understand evidences? Because we can't measure what's apart from our universe. There's no test to measure that. And God indeed did break into our existence. He did that with his word. He did that with his son, Jesus. He did that with the Holy Spirit. And that is testified at the same level as a testimonial in any court trial. It is testified to by the millions of people who have had a living experience and had God move in their life and change their life in dramatic ways. The Bible says you're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Literally, God broke into our existence and made himself known to us in the form of his word and in the form of his son. As to how God could speak all of existence into creation the way he did, if we get to the bottom of the subatomic structure and we go beyond protons and neutrons and we get into the subatomic, we're into quarks and gluons and neutrinos and subquarks and all the little things that are going on down there that science barely understands. At the end of that search, we end up with pure information. At the end of that search, we end up with a positive and a negative sign. Pure information. And pure information literally assembles the whole atomic structure, and the atomic structure then assembles everything that we consider to be real and measurable, and mass and weight and volume and all the things that we have. And also, there's no such thing as time without space. There's no such thing as space without time. And so space, time, and matter all have to come together at the same time in order for there to be anything. And so God literally could speak into existence pluses and minuses and create all things that are created, start the natural order, the laws of physics, the laws of anthropological signs that show entropy, that shows us that there actually is things that point evidence that this universe is not just a mere happenstance, but designed.
In his hands, who has numbered every grain of sand? Kings and nations tremble at his voice. All creation rises to
by that interview we just heard, and then that was Behold Our God. It's all about the power of God to change people's lives. He really does. He's living. He's not dead. He's alive. Look outside, see the order of his creations. Listen to what the Bible says. He says, I have come that they may have life abundantly. Don't let something that happened here on earth make you angry towards God to where you miss him. God, Jesus wants to save you, and he loves you. We've been talking about that. Before we close off with our final song, I want to pray for you right now. Everyone that's listening, I want to ask God to bless you. God, we pray for everyone that's listening. Some of them have had terrible things happen. Some of them, like Pastor Guy, has had children that passed away. We don't know the reason why, but we trust you. And I pray right now, through the radio and through the internet, that they would be touched and understand the power of God, that he is living and active. I pray that in Jesus' name, amen. We're going to finish off with a song, part of a song. He is our God. Just the power of what God can do. You know, and the God who sees. Listen to these words as we finish off on the Hour of Hope. This has been Pastor Matthew Brown. When you get a hold of me, my email is MATHEWBROMAN@gmail.com. If you're in Akatan, come on over to the service. We meet Sunday 1 p.m., 7:30 p.m., and Wednesday 7:30 p.m. Love to have you. You can check us out on Facebook, or you can go to my YouTube channel, Buy the Bible. This week, we're going to be looking at the name of God. God bless you. Have a good week, and let's remember there's always hope in Jesus Christ. Bye.
The glory in your midst and the power of my presence will bring you to your knees, and I will lift you up again. For I'm the God who sees. And then from the line of David, Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One, Yeshua, the Christ, born in the same house of bread to be the bread of life in the town of Bethlehem. And he would grow, and he would be called the Son of God. He would be called Emmanuel, God with us. And he would heal, and he would reveal. And then he had an encounter with a woman named Mary of Magdala, who was plagued by demons, tormented by evil spirits. And Jesus set her free. And Mary followed him. She listened at his feet. She served him. And she loved him. Oh, how she loved him. But then she watched as they nailed him to the cross, and as they placed his body in the tomb. In that moment, her hope died. It died. She's crying in the garden. She's broken in despair. She's searching for her Savior, but his body isn't there. Then he says, Mary, glory.
days in the desert places, in your empty spaces. I'm a God who sees.